Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Hello, welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
Hey, JP.
Yep.
Did you get the photos I sent you of my beach walk this morning?
Yes, I did.
Amy J, did you see them?
Just rubbing it in.
Well, we got Amy J in Virginia, you in Tennessee, and I'm on the beach. And I went for a beach walk and took photos of eagles on the beach, Cape Eagles, and then went to see the Donna Kay, the shipwreck ship from the shipwreck boat from Hurricane Michael. And it's really cool. And I just wanted to let you know, I came back to do the podcast for you, Jonathan, for you. I want you to know, I removed myself from the beach for you and also for William Vanderblumen, because I want the message of Vanderblumen Search Group to travel far and wide. It's only for the Williams and Jonathans of the world that I am here.
Yes, we appreciate your sacrifice. And Vanderblumen Search Group has been serving churches for more than 9 years, but they also serve Christian schools, nonprofits, and Christian businesses. So if you know of a Christian school, nonprofit, or values-based business that is hiring, have them contact our friends at vanderblumen.com for more help in the hiring process. So they're branching out away from just churches, Dr. Rainer. So it's exciting to see.
Well, it's been a natural extension for what they do, because many times when they're talking to a search committee, by the way, I was on Zoom last night with the search committee for an hour and a half in a church that you would know very well in Florida. And it's amazing all the questions they have. And on that search committee are undoubtedly people who are connected to nonprofits and educational institutions. And that's the connection that William has been making and the Vanderblumen Search Group. So it's a natural segue for the next level of growth in ministry for Vanderblumen. By the way, they had a question specifically about Vanderblumen.
And oh, really?
I don't think this one has ever been asked of me. I mean, I'm sure it's been asked of William and his team. Is everybody who serves in a search function someone who has formerly served on a church staff? And I said, I think so.
Yes.
I don't know of anybody who has not.
Well, I know in their situation, they have more pastoral experience and church staff experience than any other search firm out there, over 250 years.
Combined. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's
really?
in the other promo that I read, so I know that. It's one of their vendor differences, Dr. Rainer.
Oh, wow. And I don't even have my vendor socks on as we're talking.
I know.
In fact, I am vendor barefooted. Did I mention I'm at the beach?
Yes, you did.
Okay. All right. Again. All right. I know I am delaying talking about the beach, talking about all things Vanderblumen. This particular podcast is going to address a pretty serious issue. And a lot of pastors and a lot of leaders have these issues confronting them on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, there's six cultural pastoral issues where we're seeing pastors kind of struggle. It's new things in the culture, it changes in the culture, and it's affecting the church. And pastors are trying to lead their churches well through this. So we're going to talk about six of these pastoral issues that the culture is kind of throwing at churches these days that are, I'm guessing, a little bit different. Some of these I know you dealt with whenever you were a pastor, but they've either amped up or changed or been modified since you left the pastorate about 30 years ago or so,
yeah,
25 years.
Yeah. A little bit, for sure.
So the first one is issues of sexuality and gender.
When you begin to talk about the changes that have occurred in my pastoral ministry, going back, I stopped being a full-time pastor in 1994. So that's a long time ago. Obviously, I've served as interim in several situations, but an interim's like a grandfather. You just love on them, and when they mess up, you hand them back. So it's not nearly the pressure of a pastor. I have seen the progressive change taking place as a pastor. Really, the issue that I was confronted with more than any other on the issue of sexuality was homosexuality and AIDS. Because at that point, AIDS was still in the eyes of some the plague, and it was scary. We didn't know all the facts of it. One of my church members died of AIDS, and so that was really kind of it. I mean, certainly we had the cohabitation issue and things that are common now that we'll talk about later in this podcast. But today, here's one example. Recently, talking to a pastor, you may know this pastor, Jonathan, and if I remember correctly, in fact, I know that I actually shared this with you and Amy J. His situation was a transgender lesbian relationship?
Okay. It was two women where one of the women is transgender and identifies as a man, and he couldn't tell that it was actually a man or two women because he thought it was a man and a woman. So yeah.
Okay. But they wanted to get baptized.
Yeah.
And if you want to know how that was resolved, it was not. One of them ended up in the hospital, and so it has been delayed for right now. I did not have the transgender lesbian couple coming to me and asking to be baptized. I'm not saying that didn't exist back then. It was just not as public as it is today. I guess that's the big difference. There is more public knowledge of this, and therefore more people are willing to say, this is who I am.
Yeah. And just to kind of pin on that, in our discussions with the pastor, he was talking about how he wasn't just going to jump in and say, yeah, sure, come get baptized. There was going to be some conversations and some discussions and some walking through of a lot of different issues in that situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so some of these issues have come to Church Answers Central, which is our coaching and consulting hub that we have at Church Answers. By the way, I don't know if you're watching the activity on that.
Oh, it's really taken off.
It is super. So some of my most fun parts of my day are going to Church Answers Central and offering coaching and consulting on the fly, because I get to help pastors and other church leaders. I get to help churches, and I don't have to be around people.
Yeah.
It's the introvert's dream. It is the absolute introvert's dream. There are a lot of questions coming up from the members at Church Answers about sexuality and gender. Again, it seems like the primary reason is because it is being it is more open. I guess that's the way of saying it more than anything. Yeah. It's always been there, but it's more open today.
All right, the second issue is sex abuse and physical abuse within the church.
I actually remember very vividly the first time I heard from a female. I was a pastor in St. Petersburg, that her husband had physically abused her and had sexually abused her son, which was the husband's stepson. And I gotta say, I did not know laws. I did not know exactly where to turn. Fortunately, we had someone in the church that dealt with counseling issues. And I said, what do I do with this? And she told me, I reported immediately. Jonathan, I didn't know. I guess I should have known. And I did report it immediately. And she even shared with me the liability that I could be putting myself under if I didn't in the church, much less the fact that we have to help that child and the wife and mom. This, it just seems as if, again, is it because we're hearing more of it, or is it because it's happening more frequently? But this issue seems to be exacerbated more and more in churches, and we're hearing it from church leaders more and more.
Yeah, and seminaries are also doing a better job, I think, preparing ministers to do that. So, and I know that, you know, in our denomination, it's been something that's, especially on the sex abuse side of things, it's been something that we've had a lot of discussions about over the past few months. And there's some new resources. They're not quite out just yet, but there's a new resource coming from Lifeway later in June. I think it's going to be announced next week at the SBC annual meeting, officially announced. So if that is something that we need to kind of circle back to in a couple of weeks and recommend people getting to, it's going to be a curriculum for you to be able to take your leadership through, so people are more aware of not just how to handle, but how to prevent sexual abuse in the church.
Good for Lifeway. You tell all those people that work at Lifeway, that's a great job.
All right. Number three, both illegal and prescription drug use.
There was a post at Church Answers about the opioid crisis yesterday or day before yesterday. And what was amazing to me was not the fact that it was there, but how many pastors who are part of Church Answers are dealing with this issue.
Really?
I thought it was more contained to certain locales. I know that Son Sam is right in the heart of it in Bradenton, Florida, but he was not alone in that. It was just all over the place. And now we're hearing more and more, even though it's been around for a long time, not only about the illegal drugs, but the prescription drug abuse that is taking place. And so here was a question, and I'll make it rhetorical for you, not to put you on the spot. But what do you do if you really, really have a good idea that one of your church members is addicted to prescription drugs, but all the prescriptions are legal? Now, I'm making that more rhetorical.
Yeah, I have no idea.
There's no illegality that is taking place. How the abuse is happening and how that person is getting access to that amount of drugs, I don't know. But I'm hearing more and more about this being a challenge. If it's not illegal, what do I do about it? Yeah. And especially if they're not admitting that they have a drug abuse problem.
Yeah, it's a dependency problem that's going on.
And I guess this would be very close to alcoholism.
Yeah.
Because it's a dependency upon alcohol, and these prescription drugs are a dependency upon a drug. They're both legal, but they're both hurting, in many cases, killing the person.
Yeah, and that's something, like you said, that I think we're seeing more. It's becoming more public. That may have been the case. But we've also seen a dramatic rise in opioid abuse and opioid dependency over the past few years because of over-prescribing or just the ease of access to them as well. So definitely something that is not just a bigger cultural issue, but impacting the church as well. Number four is one I'm guessing that you did deal with as a pastor, and that was divorce.
I did. My youngest son, who is my pastor, Jess Rayner, tells me that when I get in a pastoral situation, I tend to be a fixer. And he says, I'm really, really bad at it too.
So he's saying that about himself?
No, he's saying that about me.
Oh, about you. Well, I think a lot of pastors though are like that. They want, like, you go into the ministry to help people. And when they come to you with issues like what we're talking about, and especially in divorce, you want to help the relationship. You want to see that marriage survive and you want to fix things. I think that's a natural response.
It is. I am doing it as a church member though.
Oh.
And he tells me, Dad, you are a church member. You wrote the book, but that does not mean that you are responsible for every pastoral need. And that's an overstatement to say I'm responsible for every pastoral need. But when there's a marriage problem within the church, I want to help. When there's a financial problem within the church, I want to help. When there's a job loss within the church, I want to help. And he says, Dad, you cannot be the project manager for every person in the church. There are a number of pastors, when they see a marriage disintegrating, they begin to take it personally, not in a healthy way, but they begin to really take it on, and it begins to bother them. I have very, very vivid memories of the first messy divorce where I was called in as a pastor. And I had this naive notion. I mean, it was a little bit more than naive. I would call it stupid. I had this stupid notion that I could fix this relationship. And in this particular case, the husband was begging for it to be fixed. The wife was saying, I'm out of here. And I'm not necessarily saying the husband was right and the wife was wrong. I'm just saying that was the posture they came into in the counseling. So I figured, okay, we got one person that wants in. All I got to do is convince the other one that she should be in this marriage as well. It didn't work that way. And I remember the first time I got both of them in the same room and talking to them, when she began to express her emotions about her soon to be ex-husband, it was not a pretty sight. It was not. And I'm thinking, I can't fix this situation. And because they were both extremely active in the church, because they were both involved in ministries within the church, it really bothered me. And then you've got the situation of all the post-divorce issues.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely do both stay in the church. If they do, it's pretty awkward. So, you know, where do the kids stay as far as the church? They go with one parent?
Unfortunately, it's more likely that they both leave.
Yes, that's true because there's embarrassment on both of their parts.
Yeah.
Maybe some unfounded shame as well. So, divorce hadn't gone away. It's still pervasive in our culture, and many pastors are still looking for the right solution and sometimes that is very elusive.
Yes. All right. And then on the other end of the marriage spectrum, you have cohabitation. So it's the people just living together and not getting married. And I've heard countless stories of pastors who have, you know, new guests come and they realize, oh, wait, they aren't married. And like, yep. How do you deal with that? I've heard that question several times from pastors.
And I've got to be careful here. I think I can see some digital cards and letters coming as a result of the statement I'm about to make. But we many of us in ministry tend to have selective indignation about moral sins. And what I mean by that is there are cases that we may kind of just turn away and ignore the cohabitation issue. But if it's a situation of homosexuality or some type of other sexuality issue, it becomes really foremost on our radar. Well, the issue is in Scripture very clearly, one man, one woman, married, and any violation of that is a violation of Scripture. But we have selective indignation among many leaders, and this one is a tough one too. Okay, this is another question for you, Jonathan. Again, we'll just make it rhetorical. A couple comes to you and they say, we were in the service. We clearly heard the gospel message and we have received Christ. We would not all like to follow through with baptism. What do you do?
And they're not married and they're living together.
Yeah. Cohabitation. Especially if they say, oh, no, we're not going to do that right now. Because usually regeneration does not mean immediate sanctification.
No.
So you know, what do you do in that situation? That's common with many pastors today.
Yeah. Yeah, it would not surprise me that pastors don't face that specific issue almost exactly how you described it at least once a year.
I agree. In almost all size churches as well.
Yeah.
Because cohabitation, again, is so common. And again, because we are selective in our indignation about moral and sexual sins, you don't always hear about that either. It reminds me of in my first church, the Church of First Merle. Out the front door and the back door was a tobacco field. You didn't hear me talking about the sins of smoking at all.
Well, some people could argue about the sin of smoking. I mean,
and again, you're exactly right. But my point is sometimes we are selective in how indignant we become about certain issues.
Yeah. And these are a lot of these, obviously these are case by case instances, but it's really helpful to have a kind of an ethic and a moral framework for these before you're put into the position.
Yes.
So to think through these, and that's where like a seminary ethics class really comes in handy, and to be able to think through these issues before you wind up in them, because every issue and every situation has its own unique circumstances.
Right.
But at the same time, there's typically an overarching ethic around, especially these that we've listed, that you can somewhat be prepared for. So when the moment hits, because I would guess that if you're a pastor for any length of time, you're going to find all of these. These are all going to be issues that come up at some point during your ministry.
For sure.
And to have some kind of plan and some kind of framework for that before it happens. It's always better, obviously, always better to have a plan before you're in the middle of something.
And if you are not in the middle of it and it's already beginning, I mean, if you are in the middle of it and you don't have a plan, I got to say, you really need to surround yourself with people who can speak into your life and guide you. Of course, we always talk about Church Answers being that place, but we're hearing every one of these at Church Answers. Usually one of these issues will show up two or three times a day. That's how frequent we're hearing it at Church Answers Central. That's the preparation stage and then the afterward stage.
Yeah.
And number six.
Number six is request to perform wedding ceremonies. I'm guessing this isn't just a wedding ceremony within people in the church that you know very well. You're talking about outsiders or even gay and lesbian couples.
Yep. You've got the sexuality issue. You've got the cohabitation issue. You've got the divorce issue. And if someone is remarrying, have you gone through and considered what you will do for a divorce and remarriage? Once again, I think your framework conversation is good because that will tell you where you need to be. I think I posted as a blog several years ago as a blog post. I actually had a letter that I gave to the prospective couple in anticipation. To answer their question, would I do the ceremony? Yeah. Instead of putting them on the spot, I said, read this and see how you feel about it. And if you're okay with it, then we'll move forward.
Yeah, and we'll link to that in the show notes.
Okay, eliminated about 80 to 90% of the requests coming in because they wanted me to perform essentially a civil ceremony and not really a Christian biblical ceremony.
Yeah, and that's where it gets, you got to look at marriage and as a preacher and a pastor, minister of the gospel, you have to see marriage as a union that God is sanctifying, not just a civil transaction. Yeah, and that's where a big difference. Things change. Yeah.
Yep, it is. And one of the best places, I would say, to get ministry preparation for these and other issues is probably Midwestern Seminary.
Yeah, Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary's master's degree program and their D-Men program can really help you out in this. The D-Men program is an advanced degree preparing students for leadership in local churches and denominational service. It's also fully attainable in a hybrid format, which means you don't have to move to Kansas City to pursue your degree. You can do it right where you are. You can learn more about the D-Men program from Midwestern Seminary at mbts.edu/DMIN. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Hey, I was listening to your points about Midwestern. You don't have to go to Kansas City. You know what that means? You don't have to fly into Kansas City.
I think you do have to. It's a hybrid. You don't have to move there, but I think you do have to fly there, unfortunately, or drive there.
Depending on where you're
coming from, I would drive. And if it's far away, I would drive.
If you're within 1,000 miles, you might want to drive.
Yes.
We're not fans of the Kansas City airport. Perhaps they will change. And I think they say they're getting a new
terminal. Building a new one. They it's long overdue. Let's just put it that way.
Yes, it is. I hope this has been helpful. We are always glad to talk about these pastoral issues. We think these are some of the hot button issues, but they're really, really common among pastors and churches today.
Yeah. And if you have more questions about these kind of things, these are the perfect kind of things that you can come into Church Answers for and, you know, ask. Because, like you said, you see these all the time. So if somebody's listening and saying, you know, hey, this is, like, I'm dealing with these kind of things and I don't have anybody, Church Answers, I highly recommend them checking that out. You can sign up. It's just 10 bucks a month, under 10 bucks a month. And you can have answers to these kind of questions and help processing through this from that community as well as all the other benefits.
Absolutely.
As a church leader, you know how tough marriage can be. There's never enough time to help every couple. There's never enough resources to go around, and we often don't feel like marriage experts. That's why we want to tell you about Woo Marriage, a brand new tool from Lifeway that provides Christ-centered marriage coaching for every couple in your church. Backed by research and design with your church in mind, Woo Marriage provides a plan for your marriage ministry with video courses for all seasons of marriage. Whether you need to prepare couples for marriage, strengthen marriages, or restore relationships, you'll have an affordable, flexible plan right at your fingertips. There are courses for communication, managing finances, handling conflict, and many more. Try it free for 1 month with offer code leadership when you go to woomarriage.com/free trial. That's offer code leadership when you check out at woomarriage.com/free trial. Once again, thanks for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.